This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, spooky season, Halloween Eve, as we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, the big guy, and Amal Shaw, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. A lot going on, kind of a confluence with everything happening in sports. You've got the official sports equinox. This is the 29th day. We've had the four majors going at the same time. You've got, of course, the Raiders at the Lions, Ford Field tonight, NFL, NBA games. You got a full slate, NHL on the ice, of course, Major League Baseball. You've got World Series Game 3. And just because I know you care, you got two MLS playoff games today. So I don't know what the equinox means outside of the fact that you can get through May 1st for $120, everything we offer. But what happens when you throw MLS soccer in the mix? That seems to be the question, boys, as we say hi and welcome you in. And Sharp Money seems to be coming. It's becoming a very popular show. You know, it's not too long ago we were looking at the board with $1,000 free roll, and we found a little Bengal team. Hooday! Sitting at 40-1. Maybe a mistake by Circa Sports, although based on the tweets, they've never made one. And we saw the 40-1 sitting on the board for the Bengals, a team that's not only been to the Super Bowl, but made runs since Joe Burrow's got there and healthy. And then yesterday they go to San Francisco and absolutely whoop that ass. Now, the bigger story here is, boys, our director, our fearless director since the onset of Sharp Money has been the one and only Liz. She is moving on for bigger and better pastures. I've heard from people I knew from high school, you know, Facebook, even though I don't have it, the other ways that people get a hold of you, social media, saying, hey, heard you're 40-1 on the Bengals. What's up? So not only Liz and everybody back in the closet there at the D, they're all of a sudden becoming friends of the three of us. But we've got a real sweat going as we welcome you in and say hi. Cincinnati, all of a sudden, the class of the NFL, Amal Shaw.
You're absolutely right, Patrick. Watching that game yesterday, I don't know, outside of the 49ers' performance against Dallas, if we've seen a team play better, and particularly in a road spot, than the Cincinnati Bengals did yesterday. Ja'Marr Chase, unstoppable. How about the defense? They made Brock Purdy look like a seventh-round pick yesterday. Tremendous job by these Bengals. And, Patrick, I asked Dustin last night when we spoke, I said, what are the Bengals at? He said 18-1. I thought that number was still too high. I said, my God, 40-1? We might as well have gone up there with a ski mask and a gun.
They look, it comes down to Burrow. Big guy, we welcome you into the program for not just the day, but for the week. And we'll set up Monday Night Football, of course, to close out week 8. But when you're talking about the Bengals, Burrow, obviously he completed every pass essentially on the day. 28 of 32, 283, the three touchdowns. Amal just mentioned Ja'Marr Chase with the 10 receptions, 100 yards, the touchdown. The defense stepped up, and that's really what we need. We need that unit to start kind of getting better each week. But also Burrow, the issue is the calf, and he was running around pretty freely. Like, that's what we noticed yesterday. Not just 43 yards on the ground, but he was evasive. And when Burrow's evasive, he is about as dangerous as they come. And right now at 4-3, Sharp Money's Bengals looking good. Big guy, what's up?
No, it was actually a really big mistake. The whole situation with the 40-1, the ticket being as big as it is, because let me take you back to the moment when Bill AD handed me the money while you guys stayed on the air. And remember, it took me a while to get back to the set because I was getting all my free drink tickets that I, by the way, never used because I used my player's card here. So that means the bet is officially under my account. So if it does win, that means I owe the taxes on a ticket worth $41,000.
Yes, no, that's true. Okay, I guess we'll have to tax man. We'll come calling. We'll have to figure that out. But then I don't know if you're the delegator, but of course, Liz, we'll have to track her down once we win it. And again, this isn't a question about whether or not we're going to win this. We are going to win. It's kind of like me and the dog pound undefeated. I know for a fact the Bengals, and by the way, the dog pound, how about me this weekend? I know the Bengals are going to win a championship. So we're going to have to find Liz. You know, Reggie's got 12 kids. We're going to have to
figure that situation out. You keep good Dakota. I just met him. All of a sudden, he wants 23%. That's what he just texted me. Who else? Matt. I've never even met Matt. He just texted me. He wants 32.5%. Like, this is a crew coming for our cash. We got to be careful with these people. A lot of long arms and short pockets.
You're not wrong on that. And I'll tell you what, Patrick, to your point, I was the one thing as Dustin was kind of presenting, he's the one who went up there under his player's card. I was thinking, hey, Patrick, you and I are walking out without having to pay the tax liability. That's all on Sweetelson over here. We're good to go.
That was the big guy who were doing a live broadcast and took extra time up there to make sure he got his reward points as opposed to the theater that was his job. So I'm hoping that extra 793 worked for you, big guy, because I had to stall, okay? And it was awkward. I'm just telling you.
And I got like 10 free drink tickets that I didn't know expire in 24 hours that I had to throw out a day later.
Yeah, by the way, Patrick, the one thing we can get in abundance here between Circa and the D is drink tickets.
Yeah, that is, and apropos of nothing, but you don't drink. So what are you going to do with those tickets?
They charge you for water. They charge you for the smart waters.
That's 100%. All right, boys. Well, just having fun with it, but that was a very impressive performance, 31-17. That number closed, by the way. It closed 4 with the Bengals catching. Just never felt right. 44 on the total, so goes over the total. But taking a look here, let's just go ahead and quickly set up Monday Night Football. I'm excited. Look, there's going to be a lot of Halloween shtick. Okay, I want to get that out of the way as a person that grew up in Michigan. The Midwest, and Amal knows this, the Midwest is a big Halloween section of the country. Like, there is, I don't know, because maybe, you know, we know what's coming ominously. We've got very cold weather and the snow. So there's kind of one more pocket of time. The fall is perfection in the Midwest. But, you know, people like to get dressed up. And also, I don't know how to say this politely, people like to get hammered in Michigan. So there are going to be a lot of drunk people feeling themselves with the Lions, who are flying high. And as I look right now, here comes Garoppolo and the Vegas Raiders, Amal. The Lions are laying 7. You've got a total of 46.5. I'm telling you, get ready for a lot of cutaways to the crowd with some Halloween costumes. But all of a sudden, a Detroit team that is, you know, dressed up in different costumes this year because they're rolling.
Hey, you're absolutely right about it. And when you start to look at the NFC right now, look, I know the Niners have lost 3 in a row. I'm not concerned about them. Still without Debo and Trent Williams on that offensive line. We saw the impact Hendrickson had yesterday without Trent Williams in the game. But the one thing that's important to consider now with the Detroit Lions, great opportunity against this Raiders team. This division is anemic. Kirk Cousins torn Achilles out for the year. Green Bay, they might as well go direct snap to Jones when he comes back healthy. They have no quarterback play. And the Detroit Lions now, Patrick, have an opportunity. And it was kind of hyperbole when we were talking about it earlier in the season when they got off to a fast start. They have a chance to be the team that winds up with home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. I know it may have seemed far-fetched earlier. We talked about 3 teams, San Francisco, Philly, and Detroit. I haven't changed my mind on that. I don't know where you and Dustin sit on that. But I got to tell you, when you look at this Detroit Lions team, very good defense, got embarrassed last week in Baltimore. I expect Hutch and this defense to play much, much better. By the way, I always hear his dad calling him Hutch. That's why I went with Hutch myself.
It's annoying.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going into the bye. You're at the Chargers. I know the Chargers look good yesterday against that junior high team that they sent in from Arlington Heights yesterday out to play the Chargers. But what an opportunity. Chargers, Bears, and Packers. Watch out. I don't want to say it. I don't want to jinx your team. But the Detroit Lions might be sitting at around 10-2 by the time we get down to some serious brass tacks here.
Yeah, I'm all nailed it with the Hutch thing. So Aiden Hutchinson's parents are constantly in the mix. And I think that's the best thing about Brock Purdy turning into a pumpkin yesterday. We can get rid of Mr. and Mrs. Purdy because I think we can all agree. I'm so over the dad over here pretending like he just got done with a workout. Okay, we get it, bro. You lift. Okay, TV just can't. It's almost like they get obsessed in San Francisco. Remember, Saleh was getting a job because the camera would not leave him during the game when he's defensive coordinator. Now, I can almost imagine Mr. Purdy coaching a team. They won't leave it alone, but yeah, you are 100% right. And, big guy, I wonder how long it will take for Tirico tonight to make the, they're telling me in Detroit, this team's actually dressing as a real football team this year joke.
Well, Dan Campbell is dressing as a guy going to the playoffs this year, Patrick. What are you talking about? I think it's a fun game for props. I when I saw this matchup pop up, just because of that Raiders defense, I don't think the numbers are telling the story of how bad this defense is. And oh, is it bad, guys? You look at the last 3 weeks, they faced Tyson Bagent, Mac Jones, and Jordan Love. That's the only reason the stats on this defense aren't worse than they are. They have not faced a lot of elite competition under center. Week one, they faced Russell Wilson. They've really only faced Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Everyone else has been a buster. So I think this is a great opportunity to take care of some props from the Detroit side of things later on in the show. I have a few guys I'm eyeing, and I think they're going to have some big old nights. Jahmyr Gibbs is the one everyone loves, though. Jahmyr Gibbs is the one everyone's betting because he's going to step in for David Montgomery, and I'm actually going to go away from him, and I think I found some other spots where the Lions could be advantageous with Montgomery out of the lineup.
All right, big guy looking at it. I do have a prop tonight dressed up in Honolulu blue and silver, and the black and silver is another point, I think, in a point of contention, certainly, Amal. I know there's no buzz for the Raiders in Las Vegas. Mark Davis is a different cat. There is going to be, there has to be a legit conversation about what to do at the head coaching position. I don't know if they want to pay him off, but it's not going to be it's not working out with McDaniels.
Well, it's my understanding they still owe $40 million to John Gruden. And so you combine that with the Josh McDaniels contract, I think they might be stuck with him. A couple of things that jump out to me. This is a team that's 30th in points offensively and 30th in third down percentage in terms of getting off the field defensively. This is a bad recipe against a team that can be very, very balanced, effective inside the dome. And by the way, I know we're going to get into it a little bit later on, but Patrick, when you look at this schedule, if Detroit loses four games this year, I'm going to tell you it's a disappointing season.
It's a lot of pressure on my boys. When we return, tomorrow's the trade deadline on Halloween. We do have a big trade in the NFL. We're coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, we got you back here on a Monday. Open up a new week. We've got the Equinox going on right now. I don't have the reads, big guy. If you do in front of you, here's what I do know.
I got it.
About the sports Equinox. You got the four majors, the NFL, NBA, NHL. Of course, Game 3, Major League Baseball with the World Series. We've got a special through May 1st. Excuse me, April, May? Yeah, I think it's through May 1st for $120. It's a great deal. And you've got the read in front of you. Go ahead, big guy.
Yeah, because of the Equinox, we have a special VSIN parlay over at DraftKings. Check it out now. It's the Hurricanes Flyers over six goals. Lions laying 4.5 in the first half. The Diamondbacks first five and the Magic plus four against the Lakers. Just look for the VSIN Sports Equinox parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. You can find it in the Sports Equinox section. The crown is yours.
Who built that? Who built that four-teamer? Do we know?
I mean, essentially, I think you can trace back to anything being built to God, right?
fair enough. That got meta. Fair enough. As we welcome you back, I'm Patrick Maher, of course. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson on a Monday. Again, open up a new week here on Sharp Money. Steve Fezzik, professionally handicapper, is going to join us for the third hour coming up in just a little bit. We do have a trade report. Remember, you've got the trade deadline in the NFL. It could be an interesting one because, you know, I've got a little theme as we do, not just like, love, loathe on Mondays here on Sharp Money, but I always try to theme it out. And with Halloween tomorrow, the quarterback ghosts and the franchise that are seeing ghosts will get into all the injuries, not just to starters, but to the backups as well. And what it could make for a pretty interesting trade deadline coming up tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time, because of all the injuries at the position of quarterback. Just quickly here, we can let you know Tom Pelissero, NFL, is reporting, and others are reporting as well, the Giants are sending vet Pro Bowler defensive lineman Leonard Williams to the Seahawks for a 2024 second round pick and a 2025 fifth rounder. So Leonard Williams, who was tremendous last year, the G-men moving on. Amal Shah, the Seahawks add a big piece up front.
I like this move for both sides. The Giants get draft picks. You get a second round pick. Based on the way Seattle's performing, you probably figure they're going to be a top 12 to top 14 team by the end of the season. They're already sitting at 5-2. So you're going to have a decent pick somewhere in the mid 50s, probably, or late 40s of that draft, which I like for the Giants. And then for the Seahawks, you add a piece to go with Draymond Jones on the front of that line. This team is playing well. I will say this. I don't know how much of the game you guys saw yesterday. I thought Seattle was very fortunate to win that football game. They get a quick 17 points, and then the Browns shut them down. I didn't like Stefanski's decision to throw the ball on third down and three. Jamal Adams, we know he can't catch a pick, but he bangs one right off his helmet. Seattle gets the interception. They end up scoring the touchdown, winning the game. But overall, Patrick, I think it's a good addition and a win-win draft for both sides. I mean, trade for both sides.
I don't disagree with you. And big guy, you're a big Giants fan. They lost yesterday in stunning fashion. We can get to it. It's a game that I red zoned. I wasn't focused on. And I think, you know, just for my general life, I think it's probably good I wasn't focused on it, as the Giants, they had a pretty good passing day. They threw for -9 yards. So that's not awesome. But defensively, Williams was the guy that you always were high on. Remember, first rounder by the Jets, traded to the Giants. They gave him a new contract. Now he's on his way to Seattle.
So that's the thing about this trade that's interesting, is when they acquired Leonard Williams from the Jets, he was on an expiring deal with the Jets, and they gave up a second and a sixth. Now they trade him away in an expiring year, and they get a second and a fifth. They actually did better than they gave up from a few years ago. That was, of course, Dave Gettleman grasping to try and bring him in and save his job. But I like Williams a lot. The thing about him that's nice is he's really versatile on that line. He can play multiple techniques. He can get after the passer. He can stop the run. He can do everything there. And I think he adds to what is a pretty solid Seattle defense. I like him going there and making an impact right away. He's a really good player. They have a great secondary. They have a good linebacking core. I think Seattle, I think maybe I was too hard on Seattle in the offseason. They're in first place right now, and they look like a really solid team that likes to win really ugly. I think Leonard Williams helps them keep doing that, especially with how that defense can play.
Hey, Patrick, I mentioned they got lucky a little bit yesterday, and I still stand by that statement. Where are you on the Hawks? They're sitting at 5-2. I understand what Dustin is saying. I don't completely agree.
This I was with you piece. In the preseason. I didn't understand the hype either.
No. This is a big piece. You know what stood out to me yesterday? And again, we knew with the two bigs, but Smith and Jigba was so fast in that touchdown where he got the corner, and Walker is legit. Like, here's the one thing, and I think I probably overrated Geno a little bit. Geno just...
He stinks.
He legitimately just zones in on a receiver. He knows where he's going with the ball every time he breaks the huddle. So I think in the long run, that will get evened out as far as Geno and success at the quarterback position. But I love they've done a better job enforcing the offensive front. Defensively, up front has been the issue. Now, Wagner is a little slow at linebacker, but up front was the issue. And Williams is going to make a big... That's a difference maker. Like, and good job explaining, because I didn't realize what they had recruited the first time or had to give up the first time. So they kind of get a little extra piece here. But I do think the Seahawks sitting at 5-2, maybe a little over their skis, but I'm coming around on them.
Great secondary.
Well, I agree with everything you guys said. I think they are a pretty good football team. They've been benefactors of playing the Giants, the Panthers, and the Cardinals.
And the 49ers on a losing streak.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think the injuries in San Francisco are crucial. My point is, though, what Patrick said. When you watched Geno Smith yesterday, he looked shook in terms of what needed to be done. They were fortunate to get that bounce on the interception off Adams' head, and they convert that into a touchdown. But, guys, I thought the Browns should have run the ball, and they get a first down, and the game's virtually over. But I'm not ready to anoint this team. You know, I looked this morning. The 49ers are still the favorite to win this division, despite being a game back, the injuries that they have. I still am a believer in the 49ers. I think right now, I know Dallas has played well. But, guys, Leonard Williams is a good addition to this defensive front, as we talked about. But I still think when I look at the tiers in the NFC, it's 1, 2, 3 teams at the top, Detroit, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. Dallas is tier 2. And then I've got Seattle in that third tier.
But they're a playoff team.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got to have seven,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got to get there. So
yeah, I think the tier breakdown is well done because I would agree. Look, they forced three turnovers. They got 10 points off the turnovers. I think the problem is Geno. Like it is fascinating. He's one read Geno. I mean, he takes a snap and he just figures out where he's going with the ball. Eventually, that's going to get jumped. So I would agree with you. I think they're at a deficit at the quarterback position. Walker's a stud. Smith and Jigba, you know how great he is. He's looking like a legitimate weapon. So they have skill. Offensive front had always been an issue. It seems like they've shored that up a little bit. Defensive front wise was the issue. And now here comes Leonard Williams. Look, Pete Carroll's a freaking weirdo. But you look up, he's got a little Tomlin in him where you kind of look up and you're like, the record doesn't necessarily match what you think of the team, but there they are sitting there at 5-2.
My issue with Seattle is yesterday, Walker has 8 carries for 66 yards. He had a long of 45 yards. I don't know if there are 4 backs in the National Football League that are a bigger threat on any one play than Kenneth Walker. Right. He is in that top 5 of guys that looks like there's nothing there, can bust it for 50 or 60. We know Saquon's capable of doing that. You look at Devin Achane, who's injured for the Miami Dolphins, guys that just can come out of the wash and turn it into a big play. My issue is, though, 8 carries yesterday. I get the other 7 went for 21 yards. And Patrick, you brought up a great, great point in terms of one read Geno. I don't know if you guys saw at the end of the first half, Emerson jumps the route on DK Metcalf and gets an interception. And it's exactly what you said. They were in the red zone. He locks in on DK Metcalf. He reads this play and he literally basically runs the 10-yard out for DK like it was his route, and he picks it off.
Yeah, Walker is, I agree, he's so much faster than what he looks like he should be. That's a big dude. And we've joked about it on the show, but he got Mel Tucker paid $100 million.
I think he should
Mel Tucker got him to come from what, Wake over to Michigan
Wake Forest,
State? That was it.
Well, I think he should get part of Mel Tucker's settlement at Michigan State.
Well, it sounds like Mel Tucker's going to need every penny legally going forward.
Okay, well, just be careful there. Finally, you want to put a bow on the Seahawks, big guy?
Well, and Charbonnet's coming on too, right?
Yeah,
like
solid.
He looked really good yesterday, and he catched the ball. Yeah, I think the point about Pete Carroll is good because they might be the most underrated organization at drafting and developing.
Oh,
it feels like, especially in like rounds 3 through 7, they just find guys. Like, they find guys, they make them NFL players, and that's it. And now, the hope is with Geno. I'm not going to say I'm a Geno guy. I don't understand the contract. But the hope is that there's enough weapons there now to kind of make him the best he can possibly be. However, I will say this. Could you imagine the Seahawks or the Falcons had they drafted Will Levis based on what we saw yesterday?
All right. Make sure your car's got some brakes.
Overreaction Monday. Now, you mentioned we do have our like, love, loathe coming up, and Mr. Levi might be in the mix on one of the three of us here down in Tennessee. You said, I'm not a Geno guy. We know after last week's just absolute love vomit, the big guy is a Kirk Cousins guy. However, you can rip up that MVP ticket. It looks like it is an ACL for the Vikings
Achilles
quarterback, which is odd because they won 3 straight. So they've got to do something, boys. We just talked about Williams being traded from the Giants to the Seahawks. Will the Vikings make a move at quarterback? We'll come back and discuss.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money on the Sports Equinox today. It's a big day. October 30th, Halloween Eve, and we've got a great special for you. VSIN Pro access until May 1st. Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, entire NFL season, of course. You get everything we offer, unlimited access to the betting splits and daily best bets for $120. Not going to get this cheap. Again, make sure you check it out. It's vsin.com/subscribe. The Sports Equinox, just a great time of the year. You take a look at the calendar, just so much going on. The D-backs on Saturday jumped all over the Rangers, 9-1 win. So we've got a series tied at 1s tonight. Scherzer v. Fott. What will you get out of Scherzer? We'll have plenty to discuss there. Of course, got the NBA. You've got the hockey. You've got 2 MLS playoff games, which I know everybody's fired up about. I am. And all of that wrapped up on Halloween Eve tonight, Ford Field, Monday Night Football to close out Week 8. You've got the Detroit Lions laying 7. The boys there, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I think they're leaning on laying the number. I don't think they're crazy. You know, we talked about the unwatchability of last night, and Amal said, I don't like to lay a price, but last night I laid it with the Chargers. The Bears are just kind of floundering. It was the right move. Tonight, you've got the Lions laying 7, 46.5. Immediately, those that are afraid of prices, you start thinking about the Lions coming down. There's no way you're teasing the Raiders going up. It's just a team that is upside down as far as culture right now. We can discuss that coming up in just a little bit. Culture is an interesting kind of indiscernible term, and the Washington Commanders miss out on some culture when they moved on from their backup Taylor Heinicke. And I bring him up because the quarterback ghost got a lot of players yesterday. Kirk Cousins, we mentioned, is out for the rest of the year with the ACL. Matthew Stafford got injured. Kenny Pickett got injured. Tyrod Taylor got injured. And Desmond Ridder got injured as well. Now, we can save the Desmond Ridder jokes, and the jokes are aplenty. The Falcons offense looked helpless during the first half with Desmond Ridder, where it totaled just 89 yards. And then in comes Taylor Heinicke off his sister's couch, and they've scored 4 of their first 5 possessions with Heinicke. 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, often in field goal range. So again, they scored points on their 4 of their first 5 possessions with Taylor Heinicke. My guess is that hasn't happened all year with Desmond Ridder. I'm just throwing it out there, but my assumption is no. And in the second half with Heinicke, this Atlanta offense scored 20 points and had an opportunity down 5, a little over 2 minutes to go, 4th down, Van Jefferson. Heinicke put the ball right there in the breadbasket and Van Jefferson dropped it. Or I think the three of us here agree. Heinicke had that Atlanta team poised to march down the field in Tennessee and potentially pick up a win. However, Tennessee does hold on. We'll get to Will Levis in a second, but this is a quarterback situation where Amal, it was being reported. Maybe it's true, but it was being reported that Arthur Smith, remember, he was getting kind of cantankerous when people would ask about Desmond Ridder. So oddly, you come out of halftime and Ritter's in some sort of concussion protocol. In comes Taylor Heinicke and immediately provides a spark that the Atlanta Falcons needed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if one of the defensive players laid that concussion on him at halftime. I mean, the reality of it is when you look at this Atlanta team, Patrick, sitting at 4-4, and I think they should have a better record than that. I think this is a pretty good football team. Defensively, they're solid. And, you know, give Dustin credit. He mentioned a few weeks ago his fear of betting against the Falcons was, which game does Arthur Smith make the change from Desmond Ridder to Taylor Heinicke? And we saw it yesterday. You referenced what they were able to do from a scoring standpoint in the second half. And, you know, you talked about Van Jefferson dropping a crucial ball. We talked during the commercial break. All three of us thought there was no doubt they were going to go down the field and score. It just felt like they had all the momentum. Everything was going in the right direction. I think Atlanta now, from a betting standpoint, has to be your favorite to win this division. Carolina's out of it. You look at New Orleans, inconsistency. Even though Derek Carr played a great game yesterday, I thought his best game so far in his tenure in New Orleans. And I'm not a believer in Tampa. I just don't think Baker Mayfield's the guy. I think it's the Falcons or the Saints that should be your bet on to win the NFC South. And I think it changes the dynamic of this Atlanta team. I think it just makes everybody around them better. It makes the running game better because that passing game is going to open up with more consistency. And you said it best several months ago. You said there's nobody who throws a better YOLO ball than Taylor Heinicke. Now, you're going to have 3 good games. The 4th game, you better hold your breath because it's going to be terrible, but you'll live with it.
Again, we talk about pride often on the show, big guy. Arthur Smith just kept on standing on that Desmond Ridder pride. And I think it's dangerous because put it this way, Will Levis had 4 touchdown passes, 3 to DeAndre Hopkins, and they were still right there in the mix to win that football game, giving away a half of offense. You see what I'm saying? Like Desmond Ridder, that was a throwaway half for the Atlanta Falcons, and you're still in the mix when the other team had their best offensive performance in 2 years. Like, that is a decision that needed to be made weeks ago. I actually heard Jonathan Allen, the defensive tackle there for the Commanders, talking about Heinicke today, and he's like, dude, I don't know how to explain it. We talk about the YOLO balls, but there is something about that dude. The players freaking love him, and you saw immediately an energized Falcons team in the second half.
Yeah, plus $1.05 on the Falcons to win the South right now, $1.45 on the Saints. It's only those two, like Amal said, and had they made the move quicker, I probably would have bet the Falcons at some point knowing Heinicke was playing. You mentioned that Arthur Smith getting a little cantankerous with the media. Well, here's a back and forth he had after the game talking about whether Desmond Ridder was or wasn't pulled because of health or performance. Okay, never mind. We'll get that later on in the show. But basically, he was reiterating to reporters over and over again.
Do your best Arthur Smith and do your best Arthur Smith impersonation, and then when we do play the clip, Amal and I will judge your breakdown. Go ahead.
Dez wasn't pulled because of performance based. He was pulled because I wanted to make sure he was healthy 100% wise. It wasn't because of how he was playing, even though he's the worst player at quarterback I've ever coached in the history of the game of football. Like, I think there were guys running the triple option who had a better deep ball than him, but still, I'm going to throw him out there every day because I want to prove how smart of a coach I am that not only do I have this great mustache, but I can also turn this bum into a playoff quarterback.
Okay. Wow, that was quite verbose from the coach, and took an odd turn. But yeah, it was, again, $1.05 on the Falcons. We can throw up the odds over at DraftKings for the NFC South. The South divisions, both conferences, where you start looking to see if you can find a price. The Saints finally broke out offensively, but it is against the Colts. The Buccaneers at 475, and the my Panthers at 65-1. But Amal, that is, like, again, the Titans just had their best offensive performance in years, and the Falcons are right there in the mix. So, again, you have to look at that first half, 89 total yards for the Falcons, or they win this football game yesterday.
Yeah, I would say take this one step further. Terry Fontenot, who's the general manager there, and Arthur Smith, they drafted him in, what, the second or third round last year? I can't remember, but they decided, hey, we're going to stick with this guy and see what he is before we choose to move on. The problem is, and I think you, one of you guys mentioned it, the energy within this organization changed when Taylor Heinicke came out there because they realized now they have a better quarterback. Everyone, if whether it's the media, the fans, whomever it may be, can see Desmond Ridder's not the answer. But this nature to force him down everybody's throat for 7-8 weeks, I think that's where the problem lies and exists. You can win this division, and I get you're not going to be a favorite to make noise in the postseason, but as Bill Parcells always says, hey, let's get in the tournament and see what happens. And that's exactly what Atlanta should do. I think their roster is better than they've gotten credit for when you look at the NFC South. It's the quarterback play that's been the deficiency. And with Heinicke now, guys, I think they're a legitimate threat to win this division, and you see it reflected in the price at plus 105. Saints get a good road win yesterday because I think Indy's competitive at home. But, man, you get Heinicke in there, I think it puts a lot more pressure on the defense in terms of the passing game.
Also, I know we joked about it. We ran the board as we do every Friday here on Sharp Money. We joked about it. I said, I'm going to bet on old Butterfingers Ridder. He had a fumble in the first half and lost the ball again. Yeah. Like, in a crucial, it was unbelievable. Literally just dropped the ball.
But with that said, do you understand? I laid 2.5 during the week. I bet it because I didn't want to have to go over a field goal. I bet on Desmond Ridder. That's how good I think the rest of this team is, that I thought they were going to smoke Tennessee on the road. I laid points on the road with Desmond Ridder, the player that I despise the most in the NFL. That's how good this team is. You mentioned the defense coming into yesterday. That defense was top 10 in scoring. They were ninth in scoring, seventh in passing defense, and third in total defense. It is a loaded team on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to see your Falcons bet and raise you one with the New York Jets. I bet on a quarterback that refused to throw the ball up for grabs on fourth down and 10, but would rather take a sack. So I don't want to hear about Desmond Ridder.
Your boy, Zach Wilson.
Oh, my God.
Is he bad? Oh. He is. He is. The term feel, it doesn't exist with him. No, like, he obviously has arm talent, and you saw that late in the game, but his feel in the pocket, like Amal just said, he just takes weird sacks, never gets rid of the ball. Go ahead.
He feels like a player that is exactly the same his freshman year at BYU to now. He has not changed or developed in any way. He is literally the same player.
Yeah, he's oddly bad. And it's a hell of a coaching job. I'm sitting 4-3 waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back. It's unbelievable. Beat the Giants, who traded Leonard Williams today. The trade deadline is tomorrow. Will quarterbacks be on the move? We'll continue.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, new customers, DraftKings bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets using that promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P, plus everybody, every day gets a no-sweat same-game parlay over at DraftKings. But again, new customers tonight, even Monday Night Football, SHARP is the promo code, bet $5, get $200 instantly. DraftKings, the crown is yours. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, of course, Amal Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. This is Sharp Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You got Monday night on Christmas, excuse me, on Halloween Eve. Shalom. As we welcome you back. The Equinox, you've got sports all over the place. We'll set up the World Series coming up. Dustin liked that. He liked the shalom. We'll set you up on the World Series with Scherzer and Fott. We were just actually talking about the ineptitude of the San Jose Sharks. I said something... I'm a donk. And on Friday, I said, you know, the Caps are the worst team in hockey. They very much aren't, because Amal, maybe you can set this up and then we'll get back to the quarterbacks. The San Jose Sharks may end up, after the 82 is finished up this year, they're 0-8-1, but it goes deeper than that. They may end up being the worst hockey team that's ever taken the ice.
You're absolutely right, Patrick. Nine games played so far this year. They have scored a single goal in eight of those games. Yesterday, they were a major dog, Dustin, sitting here laughing, against the Capitals. They jump out to a 1-0 lead, and I said, what are the odds they actually get the second goal before Washington gets on the board? It could have gotten the Caps at even money there, and then, of course, the Caps score the goal. And even in the third period, Patrick, tied at one apiece. The Capitals were still minus 180. They score a goal and then get an empty netter to win the game 3-1. But just real quick, take a look at these Sharks team totals. Good potential for an under spot on a team that just can't play. The only time they scored multiple goals was against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think it was the third game of the season. They scored three goals in the first two periods. Carolina scored four in the third to win the game 6-3. And that's it. It's a single goal. And then the Sharks are like, we've done our work. Have a nice day, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night.
They played nine games and have 1 point. It's fascinating. I mean, that's unbelievable. For example, you know, Vegas has played nine games. They've got 17 points. So just as comparison, San Jose, not very good. I know you're a big hockey guy, Dustin. You must be very confused by what's transpiring with San Jose.
Well, no, like, thank God, like, San Jose, California has a professional hockey team, when there's all these cities in Canada looking on and being like, well, thank God they're putting their resources into a winning program, when there's probably a junior hockey team in Saskatchewan who can compete with them right now.
Well, that may not be far off. Caps beat the Sharks yesterday 3-1. All right, so let's get back to the quarterbacks. Ghost, that is the theme as starters, and not only starters, backup get hurt yesterday. Kirk Cousins, kind of hated to see it. It was a non-contact injury, of course. Dustin, he was a guy that threw for 18 touchdowns and five interceptions. I bring up the big guy because he talked about him last week for MVP. Had been playing great. Minnesota, all of a sudden, Amal, have been playing well. They're 4-4. They've won three straight. They go to Atlanta this week. We can set up the number, but they're going to have to do something. You know, Jaren Hall, the fifth round backup, isn't going to be the answer. My assumption is they go out and grab a vet. Is Tannehill potentially a guy that you look to? Is it Jacoby Brissett? See if you can pry him away from the Commanders. Case Keenum away from the Texans. They've got to do something because they're in the mix at 4-4.
I can appreciate what you're saying, but I disagree. I think at this point in time, JJ's on the shelf. Kirk Cousins is done, and potentially you're not going to be bringing him back anytime long-term anyway after this. You mentioned Tannehill. He's got an expiring contract in this year, so a good acquisition potentially for Minnesota or anybody else that's interested. But I think if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you look to go towards rebuilding. You've got a franchise-wide receiver that you're going to have to eventually pay big money to in about two seasons. And my guess or my thought would be, how about looking towards next year's draft and going and getting a quarterback so that way you're not in this turmoil every single year? I get your guy, your point on that they're sitting at 4-4, but I just don't think they're going to be good enough without anybody else aside from Kirk Cousins and a healthy Justin Jefferson to be able to make a legitimate push, whether they get into the playoffs as a 7 seed or for that division, which I think Detroit's going to dominate when you look at the schedule. The Lions still have the Bears twice. They've got Denver on the schedule. They've got the Raiders tonight. I think Detroit's going to wind up with realistically a 13-4 type of season. So for me, I think if you're Minnesota, you start turning the tables to 2024. And I know a lot of people that back the Vikings probably don't want to hear that, but I think sometimes the best move is to look long-term.
No, I think it's a good breakdown. And again, whether or not it just comes down to organizational philosophy.
Yeah.
It's tanking is hard to sell, but you're not wrong. It also brings up a huge question. You mentioned Tannehill, his contract expiring. How about going into a contract year for Cousins, big guy? This is also a tenuous situation for an older quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I actually really like Kirk Cousins. I think he's a remarkably consistent guy that people just love to pile on. But he routinely does his job, and he was playing his best football of his career, and he's had some good years. He's second in the league in yards per game. He's tied for first in touchdowns. He's fifth in completion percentage. It just stinks to watch him go down, and I think the reason why, if I'm Minnesota, I wouldn't make another deal is the only reason that you were in the mix at this point in the year was because of him. All the other pieces have let you down. The secondary's been atrocious. They don't have the pass rush they used to. The offensive line still isn't all that good, and without Justin Jefferson, the receiving corps is solid, but you have zero run game. I mean, they scored their first rushing touchdown of the year yesterday. So I think maybe you mail it in, you start over, and maybe even bring Kirk Cousins back on a different deal for less money because he's coming off the injury. I just think it stinks for Kirk Cousins because he was playing his absolute best football that he's ever played.
I think if you're the New York Jets, you send the PJ down to Nashville and you go get Tannehill and you figure it out with him at quarterback and get it in the playoffs with that defense.
Yeah, I don't hate that. You're going to get... most likely going to get Aaron Rodgers back. Just you guys saw him on the field yesterday. He looks spry for having had that surgery not too many weeks ago. Minnesota, 4-4, you're probably right. They probably should just tank. It'll be fascinating to see what happens. Go ahead.
I got one. Maybe Kyler Murray is a guy on the block.
Too big of a contract.
No. Yeah, who wants that? That is, to me, bringing up Kyler Murray for a franchise is like bringing up James Harden. Who wants that? You know what I mean? It's like, even if you could get them, it's like, do you want to all of a sudden rebuild philosophically what you're doing offensively? Because you have to do that. You have to have a gimmick type offense. He's not just going to sit there and hang in the pocket. See, the interesting part, and you brought it up about Cousins. Cousins' year this year was so astronomical because they didn't even pretend to run the football. So he wasn't coming off of anything. He was literally, defenses were lining up expecting him to throw the football, and he was getting it done. Very impressive. You can't do something like that with Kyler.
Well, I don't like the suggestion or the notion that you're implying that Cam Akers wasn't effective yesterday. I mean, he carried the ball 9 times for 19 yards. I don't know what you're expecting.
Oops, my bad.
Kyler Murray, it's less about football too. Like, just that attitude in the locker room. Yeah. Like, he's annoying.
Look, guys, you're absolutely, both of you are correct. You can't bring in Murray. His contract's too big. He's not a good enough quarterback to put up with. And I got to tell you, based on the lack of interest we've seen from Deshaun Watson in helping the Browns win and Kyler Murray with a bad deal, I think teams are going to be a little bit more cautious and go with franchise tags on players who they're not 100% sold on, right? Like, you look at Justin Herbert. You're the Chargers. You're sold on him. No questions asked. You signed him to a long-term deal, Joe Burrow. But I think guys that are on the fringe, I think people are going to approach with a lot more caution instead of getting stuck with a long-term deal that you can't get out of.
Okay, I'll give you guys one on the fringe. And I don't even know if it's on the fringe. But Kenny Pickett left the game yesterday with a rib. And, you know, Mitchell Trubisky comes in. But that's neither here nor there. The Steelers have to make a really tough decision, and that is, and I know it's hard to sell to a fan base, maybe the best fan base in sports. The Steelers fans are incredible. You can't pretend after this season like that Kenny Pickett is going to be your friend. I'm sorry. He is so bad. He should be in a buddy cop with Desmond Ridder, Ebony, Ivory, and just go arrest people, because you two buddy cop show, like, you two are the most mid quarterbacks this league has seen, and pretending and propping Pickett up like he's going to get something done. I'm sorry. You hate to pick on somebody, but he's just no good.
You know, I was complaining that the three Ohio State guys are playing without quarterbacks. Terry McLaurin, even though Howell played well yesterday, Chris Olave down in New Orleans, and Garrett Wilson in New York. Are we going to just sit here and watch the Pittsburgh Steelers waste the career of George Pickens because there's no quarterback play? And Deontay Johnson's a very solid receiver. I don't get it, what the Steelers are doing. You're absolutely right, guys. And I was a little bit late to this party. I was a believer in Kenny Pickett coming into the season. I think I'm completely wrong on him. I think it's time to sit there and send Kenny Pickett back to Pat Narduzzi.
Pat Narduzzi, that is the perfect coach for Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
You can't call him the franchise quarterback, big guy.
No, I'm trying to think of a comp for Kenny Pickett. He's like You know, in baseball, the quad A players, they call them, they're not good enough to be major leaguers, but they're too good for triple A. That's kind of what Kenny Pickett is. He's probably too good to be a backup, but he's certainly not good enough to be on a team that expects to win ball games. I don't know where he stands. Like, he doesn't have a big arm. He's not accurate. And by the way, if he didn't have George Pickens, I think these numbers would be so ugly, they'd be benching him already.
Yeah, but he's
George Pickens jumped over a dude yesterday. Was that him?
The dude's special.
he goes between two defenders and then leaps through and gets into the end zone. He's just an absolute dude.
Aesthetically, the most pleasing thing that happened on the field yesterday. It was incredible. Yeah, that's a weird place to be if you're a franchise like the Steelers, where you're just like, he's probably a great dude. You think he can get better, but it's just not there. You can just feel it. It's not there. Is it there in Tennessee? We'll have to discuss. Like, love, loathe next.